Morning.
Good morning.
Well, we are very happy to be with you this morning and enjoyed the Sunday school hour. Debbie and I were here in a service for the first time about 6 weeks ago in a prayer meeting service. And Pastor Hickson spoke with me about coming back knowing that we would be traveling in these parts during the month of October. And we are so happy to be with you today and to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you. All through our careers, since we met Pastor Hickson at least 20 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, we have heard not only from him, but from many GMSA missionaries about Athens Bible Church. You have touched the lives of many missionaries, but specifically the lives of many GMSA missionaries. And they all know that we are here today and all send their greetings, as does Pastor Matt Postiff from Fellowship Bible Church up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We left there yesterday to drive down here, and they knew we were coming, and Pastor Postiff wanted to be sure that we conveyed their greetings to all of you today. We have the privilege of serving our missionary body and their constituency in the general directorship of the mission. We're the new Terry and Carol Thompson, Debbie and I. Those are hard shoes to fill. Terry has been a godly, humble servant and has served as general director for the last 24 years. I can tell you that he was ready to be finished. In fact, when we arrived in Fort Lauderdale on June 21st, I'm pretty sure his car was idling in the driveway. But we did make him hang around a few weeks so that we could have our annual general meeting with him present. And they headed out to Washington State, where they are right now. As you know, I see you have their newsletters up back. And Lord willing, they plan to return to Chile on December 3rd. And as they have stated in their newsletter, they'll be working, Lord willing, in the city of Angol, A-N-G-O-L, with the goal of seeing a church established there, a city with 8 Seventh-day Adventist churches. And they have their work cut out for them. Pray for them. Pray for missionaries to partner with them in the days ahead. Well, I could tell you things about all the missionaries you support, because We are fresh off the field, and the GMSA is a small mission. We're very well plugged in with one another. Someone has asked about our new role in the mission, and I would say a few things. First of all, and I think you are probably aware of this, but GMSA is a small army of ambassadors who are co-laboring with you in South America to see Christ establish his church there. And today we are 37 servants on all three fields. That includes Emily Freeland, who helped in your camp and shared in your church not too long ago, this last summer. She's on deputation in Canada, preparing to go and serve in Chile. 21 of these servants are exclusively involved in church planting. That means that they're somewhere engaged in seeing a church established. And then, as you know, Terry and Carol are involved in one, are going to be involved in one of three new church plants on our horizon. That's in the country of Chile. In the country of Argentina, there's a second church plant on horizon, and that would be a couple by the name of Colby and Lisa Holmes. Colby and Lisa are 27-year veterans in Argentina. Colby's an MK from there. And they just very recently, in September, last month, moved into a rented home in a city called Bragado, where, Lord willing, the Lord will bring into existence another church. And so that's Argentina. I believe that you know Bobby Vallette. How many know who Bobby Vallette is? Okay, Bobby has been here. He'll probably be back. He's newly married. Well, I say newly, new for him. It'll be 3 years. I think it was 2 years in July. Is that correct, Debbie? Bobby and Nadia, you'll be delighted with his wife. She's a lovely, lovely girl. And they make a wonderful team together. Well, they're on furlough, and when they go back, Lord willing, they'll be going to a town called Gichon, where they hope to see a church established. So it's exciting to see three new church plants on the horizon in the GMSA, apart from those who are hard at work doing church planting already. So that's 21 servants are exclusively involved in church planting. And then 10 servants are primarily involved in training leaders in one of six Bible college or Bible institutes in the three countries, in Uruguay, Chile, and Argentina. And then there are six who are serving full-time in camping ministries in three locations in Argentina and Chile. Now, let me say that when we think of those that are involved in Bible Institute training, training leaders for ministry, and those who are involved in church planting, in camping ministries, we believe that those two specific ministries have a very significant role in church planting and establishing the churches, because many young people are called into ministry in a camp setting. Many pastors receive further training and are encouraged in that same setting. Many families are built up in the camp setting, and so on and so forth. And then obviously our Bible colleges are a place where men and women are prepared for full-time Christian service. And so camping and Bible college ministries or Bible Institute ministries are very significant to the establishment of the local church. And so we appreciate your prayers for the GMSA family. If I could use one word to sum up our role in the general directorship, I think the word would be encouragement. Our three field directors need encouragement as they coordinate ministries in their respective countries. They need encouragement in their marriages. They need encouragement with their families. I would say that, and not exclusively to our field directors, but certainly our field directors are involved perhaps in two or three full-time ministries. They have great demands on their time, and the great tendency is to try to do everything. No one can do everything. And so these men need encouragement in these areas. Missionaries, in essence, are pastors. They're pastors in a different culture. They're shepherds. But shepherds are also sheep, are they not? And so our missionary family needs encouragement. And Debbie and I, after our years on the field, we understand their lives. We understand the challenges. We understand the marriage challenges, the family challenges, the education challenges of children, the children leaving home. We understand the challenges of ministry. We understand the whole aspect of church planting, of going somewhere where you know no one, and seeing God bring things together. But the whole process can be at times a bit discouraging. There are disappointments along the way. And so our missionaries need pastoral care, that type of encouragement. Our missionaries need to know that the home office staff is there to meet their needs. And we, through the years, have learned, and Terry and Carol Thompson and the team down there, Raul and Jane, they have been an example of this. But the SOP of the GMSA has been, when one of our people call the home office with a need, the answer is always yes. And then we hang up and figure out what in the world we're going to do to make it happen. But you know, folks on the field, they're dependent on us who are at home to conduct business and do things for them that they are unable to do for themselves. And so we encourage our missionary family by always saying yes when they call the home office. They need to know that they're not bothering us, and they need to know that we are there to the best of our ability to serve their needs as their needs come up. Another aspect of encouragement is coming alongside of our Canadian and UK boards and their respective directors. We were just a week ago tomorrow in Canada, Ontario, Canada, for the biannual board meeting, Canadian board meeting of the mission. Lord willing, we'll be back in April, be in the UK in May for the annual meeting there of the UK Council. And you know, some may think how glamorous it is to do all of this traveling. There is nothing glamorous about it, especially when it starts getting cold like this. You know, we've been up in Canada, and I told someone yesterday, 1 week from today, because one week from Friday, rather, we'll be back in Fort Lauderdale, and I told them 1 week from today is Bermudas and T-shirts, no more of this sweater stuff. You know, so you know that there is. And those of you that have traveled, you know, you come to a point where there's not a lot of glamour in travel, but there is a lot of blessing in being with God's people and serving God's people and trying in our context to encourage our UK council, our Canadian board, and to have ministry among them and in the churches where they are at. And so we want to do this in the days ahead. Well, there are many other things that we could say, but we want to be an encouragement to sending churches, and you are a sending church, not only of GMSA missionaries, but of other missionaries as well. And we want you to know that the GMSA loves you and appreciates you. And we've heard so much about you through the years, and it's such a pleasure, such a delight, a privilege for my wife Debbie and I to be here today and to open God's Word. And I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 10. We're going to consider a very familiar story today, a very familiar portion of Scripture that I'm sure you've heard many messages on and have read many times yourself, in a part of God's Word that speaks very clearly about different aspects of walking with Christ and Christian living. A portion of Scripture I shared with a group of men very recently, and I thought to myself, this passage that speaks about Mary and Martha, what a peculiar thing to share in a men's meeting. And yet the truths of this passage are so relevant to both men and women and young people alike. And in reality, as we consider the story of Mary and Martha today, the truth of the matter, the story is not about Mary and Martha. The story is about Jesus. And it's about our relationship with Him. And it's about our devotion to Him. It's about making Him our priority. And let's read together, beginning with verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that He entered into a certain village," the Lord Jesus Christ, "and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Father God, we thank You for the privilege of opening the Word of God freely today in this place. We thank You for the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, who is our teacher and guide. And Father, we thank You that we can interact with the Word of God and pray that we would have tender hearts toward the truth of Scripture, even as we hear this morning about Mary and Martha. And Lord, might You speak to us clearly about making devotion to Christ the priority of our lives. And Lord, there is none of us, beginning with the one speaking, who doesn't need to hear this. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would be honored by our response to Your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've alluded to the fact that this portion of Scripture speaks about priority. And the story of Mary and Martha is about having the correct priority. It's not about having correct priorities, plural, but about having the correct life priority. The very word priority was introduced to the English language from Latin in the 1400s, and you would be interested to know that the Latin form had no plural. There was no plural of the word priority, only the word priority, no plural. And a man by the name of Greg McCowan made this statement, interestingly. He said, "Only in the 1900s did we pluralize the term and start talking about priorities. Illogically, we reasoned that by changing the word we could bend reality. And beloved, we live in a day of multitasking. And we live in a day in which people are constantly identifying multiple priorities and trying to determine how to juggle all of those priorities. And beloved, that's a 20th century concept that certainly was not born out of the understanding of this word in its Latin form in the 1400s. A plural form of the word priority contradicts its very meaning. And the meaning of the word priority is the most important, that which comes before all else. In fact, the word prior, which means the first thing, is a word that we use frequently. How can a plurality of things be the single most important? The answer is it cannot. If you count many things as life priorities, then the question would be, is there any one thing that is the priority in your life? We can get so busy with many important things, many worthy things, many significant things, many necessary things, juggling what we call our priorities, that we miss the only priority, and we lay aside that good part which shall not be taken away from us, that the Lord Jesus Christ describes from the life of Mary in verse 42. In verse 39, we're introduced to Mary. And where is Mary in verse 39? She's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ listening. It's a picture of intimate, authentic fellowship with the Lord of glory. David had the same priority identified in Psalm 27:4 when he says, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And what Mary was doing that day, Jesus called needful in verse 42. He referred to it as that good part, that which shall not be taken away from her. And beloved, one simple thing needs to be our life priority. One thing is needful, and one thing shall not be taken away from you, and that is to sit at His feet and to hear His word. When intimate, authentic fellowship with Christ is truly the priority of my life, beloved, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will be in its rightful place. It doesn't matter how many important things vie for your time and attention. It doesn't matter what desk you sit at. It doesn't matter what title you have. It doesn't matter how many people are depending on you. One thing is needful. One thing is your life priority, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His word. And let me say concerning this life priority, three things. Number one, it's the priority that only you can choose. It's the priority that only you can choose. In verse 42, Jesus says, Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary made a choice. Mary made a choice. And only you can make that choice. A certain woman, the Bible tells us in verse 38, named Martha, received Him, Jesus, into her house. They were in the village of Bethany. I wonder if Pastor Bill Hickson has been to Bethany yet. Yesterday he wrote me an email. He said, we just literally drove from Dan to Beersheba. So Jesus was in Bethany. He was in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha received Him into her house. Was it His first visit? Perhaps it was. We don't really know. We do know that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus became His close friends. Later, we read in the book of John about the death of Lazarus and all the events surrounding his death. Now Martha is a word of Chaldean origin. Interestingly enough, the word Martha means mistress. Mistress is in the lady of the house, the person of authority or control. Maybe we could conjecture that Martha was a widow. We have no evidence that her husband was there. We could probably assume that Martha was the eldest of the three children. But very clear here is that Martha received the Lord Jesus into her house. And that would imply to us, by the simple use of the word received, that she received him with enthusiasm and with warmth. And he was a welcomed and a wanted guest. She received him with kindness and with hospitality, very much as we were received in Anne's home so graciously. I could picture Martha being this way. She definitely wanted Jesus to be there. She wanted his disciples to be present. This is all understood by the use of the word received. The meaning of the word would imply these things. And Martha, we can conclude, she was sincere. And she was all about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wanted everything to be perfect for him. She wanted his every need to be met. She wanted him to feel at home. But beloved, servant does not exempt us from devotion. Even serving the Lord does not exempt us from devotion. Martha had a sister, and her sister was called Mary. And the Bible tells us that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Interestingly enough, the word Mary is of Hebrew origin and means obstinance or rebellion. And certainly, it's very clear from the activity of Mary that day that she was obstinate in her determination to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. But it would seem that Mary considered her rebellious. Maybe she considered her rebellious for sitting at the feet of Jesus. For in the culture of Judaism in that day, that would be frowned upon. A woman sitting at the feet of a rabbi among other men was not permitted. And yet we find Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. And perhaps for that reason, Martha thought her rebellious. But also, I tend to think that Martha thought Mary a little bit rebellious for abandoning her to do the work alone. Martha was deeply annoyed. Martha felt that Mary should be by her side. But Mary's nearness to Christ shows she didn't want to miss a word he was saying. She was totally captivated. She was absorbing everything that she could to such a degree that Mary was totally undisturbed by what was going on in the other room, by what was happening in the kitchen. She was totally aloof to what Martha was thinking or to Martha's irritation. Her hearing was not interrupted at all by thoughts of Martha. She was riveted. She was engrossed. Her hearing was effectual. His teaching was being understood, and she was absorbing everything that she could absorb. And she was so captivated that she was totally unaware of what was going on around her. No idea that Martha was fuming, probably banging around in the kitchen trying to get her attention. Well, beloved, what Mary gives us is a picture of what our devotion to Christ should look like. And we understand that we have the blessed privilege of coming to the Lord of glory at any moment of any day, from any place, with any need. But beloved, that does not replace that needful thing of coming apart in devotion to Him and hearing His voice as we read the Word of God and communing with Him on a daily basis and fellowshipping with Him after this fashion. And what we see here is what that should look like. Oh, how often have you, like me, read a portion of Scripture and your mind has been full of thoughts of the day and things that need to be tended and accomplished and people that need to be seen and things of this nature to such a degree that you can read perhaps an entire passage of Scripture and have no idea what you've read. Have you ever had anything like that, Pat? Yes. Thank you for your honesty. How many times have I read a paragraph 3 or 4 or 5 times and said, "Lord, help me concentrate"? How we need to find a way to be so focused on what God is saying to us that we're unaware of our surroundings. That's the idea. Concentrated on His words to us, listening attentively to what He would say. Mary's love for the Word of God gives evidence of the fact that she was a true believer. Psalm 119:97, David says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Hearing Jesus teach was the single most important thing, and Mary perceived that it was needful and good. So she made time to sit down and truly listen. Had Martha begun there as well? We can't say. We don't really know. Was Martha at one point there and then moved away and felt Mary should go with her? We don't really know. But we marvel at Mary's devotion. There are three times when you see Mary, the sister of Martha, in the Scriptures. This is the first time. The second time is in John chapter 11, and that was when Lazarus died. It's noteworthy that every single time we have an encounter with Mary in the New Testament, she's at the same place. She's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 11:32 is when Lazarus had died, and when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that she fell at his feet and she cast herself before him in grief. And the third time we see her is in the following chapter, in John chapter 12, when Jesus comes to their home again and Mary is found at his feet, anointing them and wiping them with her own hair as an act of worship. And so we see her at the feet of Jesus in hearing, in grief, and in worship. But the point is, she found herself constantly at his feet. And it's noteworthy to mention that Mary had no particular ministry. There's no particular ministry identified in the life of Mary. She was not a person of any great prominence either. Mary was simply a disciple. That's exactly what most of us are. Most of us do not have a place of prominence in the church. Most of us are not perhaps have no particular fame or anything of that nature, but we are all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, it's appropriate that all of us find our place at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is today, have you chosen nearness to Christ as your life priority? Verse 42 says, Mary hath chosen that good part. Well, this is not only the priority that only you can choose, but secondly, it's the priority that won't always be popular. And it won't always be popular in your own house. And this is so evident in verse 40, because verse 40 tells us that Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And not only was it not popular, but it was not popular in her own house. It was not popular for Mary to be at the feet of Jesus before her own sister. And beloved, sometimes your devotion to Christ will be prickly to the very people that live under your roof for one reason or another. But let me hasten to say that Martha was no villain. Martha was no villain. Remember that Martha was about serving the Lord. And she wanted everything to be perfect for Him. She was no villain. And in fact, as you read the other encounters where Martha is involved in John chapter 11 and 12, you get the sense that Martha finally came around. But Martha was obsessing over secondary things. They were not unimportant things, but they distracted her from the priority. And Jesus said in verse 40, but Martha. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha. But Martha. She didn't get it yet. She was encumbered about much serving. She was distracted, greatly troubled, drawn away, dragged about, too busy, overoccupied to set aside the time to hear. If she was listening, her mind had wandered, and she felt herself obligated to get up and to do. Now you have to put yourself in Martha's position. Martha had willingly and wantingly and graciously received not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but the 12, that's 13. And then there was she herself and Mary, And that would be 15. Perhaps Lazarus may have been expected. That would be 16. How many of you ladies have regularly, or not regularly, because this wasn't regular, but had 16 guests drop in for lunch or supper? Yeah. So don't be too hard on Martha, right? But Martha, if she was sitting near Jesus listening, these things began to work in her mind. And she began to... 16. How many chairs are at the table? Do I have enough plates? Is there enough food? Well, you can understand these things, can you not? And Martha somehow lost her focus, if she ever was in the room listening, and she moved away from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and began to busy herself with these other things. In reality, Martha let what could wait, which would be food, table, drinks, enough chairs, all of that, preempt the real priority. How often we do that? No, isn't that the truth? How often we let the things that could wait preempt the priority. It's happened to me so many times when I've tried to have a quiet time with the Lord and I've permitted my mind to wander to any number of things that await me in the course of the day to such an extent that I can no longer concentrate. I just need to get up and do. Does that ever happen to you? I believe that's what happened to Mary that particular day. She was over-occupied. Her mind was over-occupied. She grew distracted. She was dragged away and she was obsessing about secondary things. So the question is your fellowship with Christ interrupted because you let yourself be encumbered about much serving? The more Martha obsessed, the more she thought about Mary sitting out there. The only woman among all those men. While she was in the kitchen, preparing the meal and counting the chairs and getting the table ready, and anger began to seethe under the surface. Not only is Martha mad at Mary, but listen, she was mad at the one she claimed to be serving, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The prophesied Messiah, the eternal Son of God, the Savior of mankind, was in her living room teaching. And Martha publicly interrupts and scolds the Lord of glory. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me. I bet you could have heard a pin drop. Similarly, in John 11:21, after Lazarus had died, as soon as Martha saw the Lord, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I think that Martha was one of those people that you never had to wonder what she was thinking. Lord, I'd like to be seated out here too listening, but I'm doing all the work. For 15 people, nonetheless. Lord, do you even care that she's abandoned me? Make her get up and come and give me a hand. Beloved, how do you interrupt the living Word while He's teaching? Tell the Sovereign Lord what to do. Confront the Good Shepherd, inferring He's irresponsible and question His care. And yet that's exactly what Martha was doing. In her own eyes, Martha considered herself right. Mary was wrong for not helping her, and the Lord was wrong for not making her. After all, she was doing it all for Him. But it could wait. It could wait. So the question is this. What are you doing for Him that keeps you from Him? What are you doing for Him that keeps you from Him? Like Martha, are you missing out on the one thing that is needful and good? That one thing that shall not be taken from you. Someone has made these three observations about Martha's attack against Mary that I believe are noteworthy. Number one, it came from home, came from her own sister. The devil attacked Mary through Martha. Why do we say the devil attacked Mary through Martha? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? Carnal Christians often attack spiritual Christians. It came from home. Secondly, it targeted a tender area. Because in essence, what Martha was saying to Mary is, you're a horrible hostess, I guess that's the word, right? You're a terrible hostess. You're no good at this. Where are you? The same person said, we're never more like the devil than when we criticize others. But I think even the worst of these is the third, that the attack came in a public forum. Martha humiliated and embarrassed her sister, not only before the 12 disciples, but before the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So it came in a public forum. Beloved, if you make sitting at his feet and hearing his word your life priority, you will not always be popular, not even in your own house, not even among all professing Christians. And you will suffer opposition. And so it's the priority that won't always be popular. It's the priority that only you can choose. And finally, it's the priority that Christ always approves. Verses 41 through 42. You have to marvel at the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks to Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful about and troubled about many things. Remember when he looked out over Jerusalem and said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have loved to gather you to myself. That tenderness. And I think he spoke to Martha with great tenderness. I don't think the Lord was angry at Martha. On the contrary, I think he was tender toward her. I think he pitied her. And he says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. And the words careful and troubled are very significant to our understanding of the text because they reveal what was happening both internally with Martha and they give some insight into what was happening externally as she spoke to the Lord. Because don't remember that the Lord answered her and said unto her. In other words, Martha had said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's out here? She's left me all alone by myself. So tell her to come and give me a hand. And the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered. Thou art careful, rather, and troubled about many things. In essence, he's saying, Martha, Mary's not the problem. Mary is not the problem here. Careful, the word careful means to be drawn in opposite directions. It means to be divided into two parts. It literally means to go to pieces because of being pulled in two different directions. It's to be inwardly agitated, overly anxious and distracted. It speaks of something that was going on inside of her. And perhaps Martha felt that she should be out there listening, and maybe that was the rebuke of her sister's actions to her own conscience. And yet she felt she had to be here preparing as well. And that going on, that agitation inwardly within her brought her to a boiling point. And he said not only that she was careful, but that she was troubled about many things. And interestingly, the word troubled is to be in a tumult. It's to be in a noisy uproar. It speaks of the outward, and so she was outwardly upset, and we might get the impression that Martha didn't just interrupt when she spoke, but that she raised her voice and made a scene. And I think that Martha was probably self-humiliated when she did it. Have you ever spoken up in anger and everybody suddenly got quiet, and then you thought, oh, good grief, what have I done? I wonder if Martha didn't feel just like that at that moment. What was boiling inside had now boiled over. She came unglued about many things because she had forgotten the one thing. She neglected the priority, which was to sit and listen to Jesus. She neglected the one thing that was needful. The one thing that her spiritual well-being demanded, that good and that spiritually profitable part, to walk with Christ, to sit at His feet and to listen to Him teach. Beloved, never convince yourself that you're too busy serving Him to make time for Him. Believe me, those that have been involved in full-time ministry, I think would all have to say that they have been down that road before. And be reminded that that particular kind of service, when you convince yourself that you're too busy serving Him to make time for Him, is most always unfruitful service. Because Jesus Himself said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that what? Abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do little.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. John 14:15. How many times have you made him wait while you finish what you're doing for him? He wants you more than he wants what you do. Hebrews 4:11. I'm taking a phrase out of the verse, but it says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. It seems to be a contradiction of terms, but it reminds us that the rest of devotion, the rest of fellowship, the being still and knowing that He is God in the midst of the storm is something that we have to work for. We have to labor for. We have to discipline ourselves for. It doesn't come naturally. It's not easy. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Spiritual rest and well-being comes from laboring to make and to maintain times of fellowship with Christ. So what worthwhile things are you giving yourself to instead of the priority? That priority of sitting at His feet and listening to Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so prone to wander in this matter. We're so prone to equate doing with being. Busyness with spirituality. And Lord, we're not talking here today about giving up ministries or doing necessarily less than what we do in the course of serving You. But we are talking about making sitting at the feet of Jesus the priority. And God, we ask that You would help us in this today. We pray that You would help us to make that choice like Mary made that choice. We pray that You would help us, Lord, to hold up under the criticism and the opposition, perhaps even of our very own home and those that we love. And we pray that You would help us to be driven by the simple fact that this is the choice that You always approve and bless. And so, Lord, we ask this. We thank You for such a time of blessing together and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, gentlemen.